This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Monday, April 24th, our picky eater is my partner edition. I'm Zach Rosen. I make a different show. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I am dad to Noah, who is 5.5, and Ami, who's 2.5. We live in Detroit.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 6. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Jamila Lemieux. I'm a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who's 10, and we live in Los Angeles.
Today on the show, we have a mealtime dilemma. What do you do when your partner's pickiness is causing headaches for the whole family at dinner? Our listener is fed up at his increasing inflexibility and worries it's going to affect their kid. We will also be sharing some recommendations and dipping into our mailbag to hear what you have to say about the advice we give.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
But let's start today with our question. Dear Mom and Dad, I am the, quote, meal person in our house. If I don't cook, plan, and otherwise arrange meals, there will be no meals. I love to cook, so I don't have an issue with it. The problem is with my husband's food preferences. We have been married 15 years. He has always had certain preferences, and I largely accepted them from the beginning, even when they were things that I enjoyed eating. I have to keep mental track of what he doesn't like. Anything spicy, any seafood product, pork, but bacon is okay, steaks or other, quote, big slabs of meat, mushrooms, cilantro, cooked tomato, coconut, curry, Brussels sprouts, raw onion, cabbage, Asian-style food, cold quinoa. The list goes on, and he continues to add to it. He does not like rice or pasta, but will tolerate it on a limited basis. In the past few years, however, he has become increasingly rigid with what he will eat. It has become increasingly difficult to plan meals because if I serve something he doesn't like, he will gripe and not eat it. This is completely contrary to how I was raised and how I behave. I'm willing to eat something that is not my favorite for a meal if that was what was prepared, and it's not disgusting to me, just something that isn't my preference. I've tried talking to him about this, but he makes me feel like I'm not being understanding or reasonable. Am I crazy? Is this normal? I feel like I'm going insane and just missing something here. I'm also concerned because we have a kindergartner who has become increasingly rigid in what she will eat at the table and who echoes him every time he complains. Help! Signed, Mealtime Meltdown.
Nope. No. No, no, no. No.
Who doesn't like pasta? But go ahead.
This is unreasonable. What does he even eat when you go out? What is left? What is left here?
Bacon okay. And raw tomatoes.
You are not a short order cook. It is not your job to prepare food that he is his personal preference every day. This is probably one of many jobs you have. I totally get it. Jeff is our meal person. There are general things, allergies, things you really can't stomach. This list is insane. It is insane. Yeah. I do not know what you cook. It sounds like you've tried to talk about it, but I think you need to sit down and basically say, I am in charge of this. This has become a situation that is now completely not manageable. It is influencing our child. You may participate in the meal planning and cooking process, right? So we can make a meal plan together. You can find recipes. Like, I'm happy to cook. I'm happy to shop, whatever that looks like to you. But the emotional work that is going in here is unacceptable. And the fact that then he won't even eat what's prepared. So I think he can participate in it. And then you can try to make that work. But if he doesn't participate, you should make the meal plan, make the food. And if he doesn't want to eat it, he can make something else. And I know that seems mean, but it just seems to me that now this really important part of your day, eating, is completely revolving around one singular person who's not participating in it. That to me is crazy. I just, so he gets to either participate or shut up and eat. In my opinion,
you may be the meal person because perhaps you're the better cook. I don't know if it's just because you're the woman and it just fell on your shoulders, but your husband needs to start cooking meals. You know, if he's unwilling to eat what you prepare, he has to start cooking meals. You can't bow to those restrictions every single day. And it's influencing your child, you know, right. Because not only is he not cooking and participating, he's complaining in front of your child about your cooking. That's so disrespectful. You're the one taking the time to prepare all the meals, but he's complaining about it in front of your child, who's now starting to do the same thing.
That's how kids learn entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest Sean does among many here is that he has taken this thing that you love, cooking, and made it something that is stressful, stress inducing. This is crazy. You are not crazy.
No.
To answer your question, no, you are not crazy. No, this is not normal. Dude's got to get in the kitchen and do it himself if he's going to keep complaining. This is just completely unacceptable. He needs to take some accountability for it. You can help him to a certain degree, but this isn't his peculiar habits do not rest solely on you to decipher, especially considering that they are constantly changing and evolving and growing.
I do have a couple of solutions to say that I still do not believe that this should be something that you have to fix, but should you be looking for solutions, here are some ideas. Since Jeff is the major cook in our house, he had us all make a list of our six favorite things that we like. And so every member of the house kind of submitted these, and he has this, like, they are quick and easy, right? He picked of those, which are super easy to make. And that leads to some really good options that we all like or tolerate, essentially, which I think helps take some of the mental load off, too, when he's meal planning, just that, hey, there are these that I can pick from, right? Here's 20 or so meals that are pretty easy to make. He also has focused on, like, making sure that I know how to make those, that my kids know how to make those, right? So that we can all help produce those. I think also getting your kindergartner involved in cooking, it may be so important in your house because there's already been kind of a food thing. The other thing I want to suggest is any meals that are like put together at the end, so salads, bowls, all those sort of things, where you can include some of the foods that you really like, quinoa, beans, but everyone is putting together their own meal at the end of the day, may be really helpful. I mean, there's a million of those in any, you know, genre. So put this stuff together. If you want to put yours over rice, but he doesn't eat rice, easy enough. I have made this food. You do what you want with it. If you want to get out a tortilla and put all this stuff in there, fine. But I have made all the pieces of a meal. I just know when we do large family gatherings or have people over, that is, I tend to go to that because then I don't really have to worry about who's going to eat what. It's like if someone doesn't eat onions and they don't have to put onions on their thing. Part of the issue is definitely that you are the sole meal person. So the more you can offload some of that even to your kid might be helpful.
Yeah. And like if your husband is working crazy hours and just literally doesn't have time during the week to cook, that's a legit excuse. However, he can do some meal planning on his day off. It's just like make a big pot of whatever the hell it is that he does eat and just like dole that out to himself during the week.
I mean, you can have a date night and look at cookbooks together. Like I just think that this is not sustainable.
It's not nice. It's not nice.
It's also not nice. Yeah. Please tell me he does the dishes. Please. Write back and tell us he does the dishes.
Yes.
And I really do hope that you talk about him complaining about your cooking or, you know, him not being pleased with the food presented to him in front of your child. Like, that needs to be called out. That is all wrong. You're teaching your child to have unrealistic expectations of the world around them. And, you know, if there's anything that he ever needs to say that's critical of you, it needs to be in private.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a kind of caricature of like a 1950s domestic situation where a husband comes home and like expects to be like waited on as if he's at a restaurant, which is not, it's just not right. I hope that you have expressed to him how this is making you feel. And you probably have, but in the event that you haven't, like, make it very clear that this is, he's taking the joy out of cooking. Well, we hope you hang in there, mealtime meltdown. Please let us know if things get better. And we love updates. We always love updates. To the rest of our listeners, do you have any helpful tips or tricks to share? Email us at momanddad@slate.com or send us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. That's 646-357-9318. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. See you back here in a second.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's move on to recommendations. Jamila, what have you got for us this week?
I have a recommendation that came from a listener, and I can't find the email where they sent it, so I apologize for not giving you a proper shout out. But when I professed my love for Flamin' Hot Cheetos, one of you all wrote in and said you should try the lemon ones, lemon, I guess, and they're like lemon lime Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and they're so good. Oh my God, I will never eat them again. They're better than the original.
But you'll
ones.
Never eat them again.
No, I'm like trying to get this Flamin' Hot Cheeto monkey off my back. So it's bad. It's gotten bad. So I do not intend to buy anymore. But I want you all to have them. They're absolutely delicious.
So they're like Flaming Hot, but with is the hint of lemon
hot
at
plus
the
citrus.
End? Is
it
the
lemon and lime? It's kind of like an aftertaste. It's I don't know how to describe it. It's delicious. Okay, found the email. It was Salman Magal. They're so good. Thank you.
Are they new?
Never. They're, I think, in the past year or so. Like, I think they're relatively new. I never would have tried them, so thank you.
Did Naima try them? Because she was like the gateway to the Flamin' Hots,
right?
Yeah,
she got mad because I ate them all. Like, I destroyed them. But she did get to have some before I destroyed them.
I'm very intrigued. Thank you for that. Elizabeth, what about you?
Okay, so I am recommending the Self-Compassion Workbook for Kids. This is one of those workbooks full of mindfulness activities. I always try to include something like this in our homeschool routine and found this book, and we've really been loving it. The kids have actually been doing it during that morning time when we're listening to the music. They pull it out. It has all kinds of fun little activities that are geared at really learning to love yourself, which I think is kind of fun. A lot of the other ones I've done have been more on being a good friend or being a good brother, and this one is really finding things you love about yourself and learning to listen to that inner voice. So it's a very cute, fun workbook that you can do with your kids, but older kids can definitely work on it on their own, and it's called the Self-Compassion Workbook for Kids.
Great. I'm going to recommend a big old novel that I am almost done with. Have either of you read Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow?
No.
It's by the author Gabrielle Zevin, and I haven't read a big novel like this in a while. It is so great. It is about these two friends who meet when they're like 12 or 13, and then they meet up again in college and go on to create like some iconic video games of in the early aughts. It's fiction. But I've never read fiction that has written so precisely and beautifully about gaming. I was never much of a gamer, but like video games and like games as metaphors for how we live are strewn throughout this book, and it's just really good. And then it's also about like creative partnership and what that looks like, and it's fantastic. She also wrote some YA books that my niece really likes. Such an incredible author. But this one came out last year, and I know it's a New York Times bestseller, and a bunch of people I know have read it. It's excellent, even if you are like me and don't care about video game design. It actually helped me understand that world in a much deeper way. So two thumbs up for sure. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin.
Her name sounded familiar, so I was clicking around, and I think it's from the YA novels, but on her website is a video game inspired by the book you can go play.
That's cool.
So that's cool.
Nice.
I have not hit start game yet because we're doing this, but
as soon as we're done. Finally, it's time to open our mailbag. We first have some advice that came from last Monday's episode on gentle parenting. I love the show and have been listening since years before I had my own kids. Two boys, now 6 months and 2.5. I have a recommendation for anyone needing help with gentle parenting. We took the Big Little Feelings toddler stage course, and it was life-changing. Their strategies, yes, no, yes, keeping your promises, using a timer, etc., have reduced our toddler's tantrums and shortened them when they do happen. I've never written in before, but I feel so strongly that everyone with toddlers should take this course.
Big Little Feelings is one of my like favorite Instagram accounts, and in fact, we are always working to try to get them on the show. So you guys, reach out, tell them to come on. But they have a wonderful Instagram and website that has lots of good tips if you're trying to figure out kind of what this course is all about.
So it's an online course?
They have like courses that they offer, yeah, that teach some of their principles that are sort of like understanding why toddlers throw their tantrums and how to be more empathetic in listening to toddler tantrums as a way of saying, hey, something is wrong, as opposed to like, hey, I hate you.
That's really interesting. I'm on the website now, and it looks like it's a $99 course, but that's quite a glowing review. So thank you very much for that. We also wanted to share this letter. Hi, Mom and Dad Are Fighting. I loved Zach's recommendation about letting your kid lead her museum experience. We regularly tell our four-year-old all museums are museums for children, and we take that seriously. Though he did scornfully tell me the other day, a children's museum is one with something you can climb in it. We have a membership to a small museum near our building, so our son knows his way around and can take charge of his visit. And like Elizabeth, we've given lots of dirty looks to dirty look givers, but mainly we get positive interactions. The museum recently published a card game for engaging with the museum, and they have an online version that you could probably use in many art museums. It's available here at phillipscollection.org/selfguide/phillipsplays. We'll put a link to that in our show notes. Oh, that's cool.
It looks really cool.
That is cool.
Well, thank you both for writing in. If you out there have any thoughts, advice, or questions of your own, please send them in. You can email us at momanddad@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. Lastly, we wanted to tease a special crossover episode we've been working on with The Waves, Slate's podcast on gender and feminism. Jamila, can you tell us about it?
Yes, I'll be doing an episode of The Waves dedicated to a new book by Virginia Soul Smith, friend to the show. It's called Fat Talk, Parenting in the Age of Diet Culture. I'm reading it now. It is a really fascinating look at how we talk to our children about weight, managing some of the internalized fat phobia and instinctive body shaming that we're carrying as parents as we try to raise children to have a healthier relationship to their bodies than many of us have. And we're going to be talking about it. I'm really looking forward to it.
We've been getting so many questions on the topic too lately. So it's so well timed.
Stay tuned and keep those great comments and questions coming on this topic. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Maura Curry. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Zach Rosen. Thanks for listening.